Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:25, and that is Pacific summertime, and today is May 10th. And the primary news story today was about oil. And, you know, this is a market which has had just a panoply of news stories ranging from the brush fire in Alberta, which has really made a lot of headlines. And then you have the court politics that just provides an endless soap opera of news out of Saudi Arabia. Then you have the potential for a supply disruption out of the Niger Delta because of what's happening in Nigeria. So with so many moving parts, with some trying to increase supply, some necessitating that supply get taken out of the market, we really have to just look at the consistency of the trend, because that is the only thing that we can really dictate to us what people are doing with their money. And Brent crude today was stronger by, and this was a fairly substantial rally. It was up over $2. Well, sorry, just under $2, up to $45.60. And then when we look at this rebound over the last almost 4 months, we're presented with four reactions now in the region of between $5 and $6, and this was a fairly emphatic bounce here today. So at the very minimum, yesterday's low represents a low of near-term significance. It represents the latest higher reaction low in the context of the four-month uptrend, and a sustained move below it would be required to break that uptrend and also to challenge the consistency of the advance, which has been characterized by these occasional reactions of between $5 and $6. So in fact, this is still a very consistent trend, and that the oil price is finding support exactly where it needed to. And having done that, we would have to give the benefit of the doubt to some additional upside. Now, against that background, it's worth considering that the best performing sector, and it's a fairly substantial sector, is the energy sector in the S&P 500. Certainly gold shares have obviously done better this year, but there's only one gold share in the S&P 500, that's Newmont Mining. So it has an inconsequential effect on the wider market. But energy, on the other hand, is a substantial sector within the index. So the fact that oil prices are rallying has been a net positive for the energy sector, and that has also contributed to this additional rebound that we've had in on Wall Street today. So the S&P is up 22. It's bouncing rather emphatically from that 2050 area. And then when you look at the NASDAQ, it was up over 1.5%. So that's a pretty emphatic move here. Then you have to look perhaps a little bit wider. And certainly there's some news out of China, and I'm posting a Google translation of this missive that was released from an authoritative source. And I really, in the audio, I'm holding up my inverted comma signals for authoritative source, because when they say authoritative source, what they really mean is that it's a mouthpiece for the standing committee, but that they don't want to put their names to it. So they're talking about an L-shaped recovery. They're talking about additional reforms, unwinding the overcapacity in a number of key sectors, that the investment-led growth and infrastructure-led growth is no longer going to work, that they really do have to concentrate on the on developing the consumer economy. That really is the additional leg to their growth model that they haven't really concentrated on, and they absolutely need if they're going to rationalize their heavy manufacturing and infrastructure-led growth model. Now, if they're going to do all that, and they really are anticipating that it's going to be an L-shaped recovery where growth is not going to be 10%, in fact, it might not even be 6%, but that, and they're talking about taking one step back so that they can take two steps forward later, well, then that would suggest that the velocity of money will decline. And central banking 101 is that if velocity of money goes down, then you have to increase the supply in order to maintain the conditions for growth to take hold. So China is unlikely to be tightening if they're going to be in this reform environment, and it would suggest that even if they're going to go through with the rationalization of big sectors, that they're going to have to support something else so that there will be additional monetary stimulus. If that's the case, then we have to look a little bit wider again and look at Japan and look at Europe. And they're both resolved to this negative interest rate environment, but they're certainly not raising rates. Then we go back again and look at the what is it that has been driving this market for the last almost 7 years? And it's been a liquidity-fueled rally. And if three of the four major central banks in the world are not only in easing territory, but engaged in some form of quantitative easing, then how likely is it the Fed is going to raise rates on their own? The bond market is pricing in barely one interest rate hike within the next 12 months, so looking out to May 2017. And if it sustains a move below 50, below the 200-day moving average, it's already below 50 basis points. And I think it's around 47, which is just about where the moving average is. Well, then that would break the progression of higher reaction lows. It would suggest that bond investors are not even pricing in one interest rate hike. And then, because this has been a liquidity-fueled rally, how likely is it that we're going to have a very big drawdown, or we're going to have a big repricing of risk if liquidity remains ample? And I think that that is one of the things that has helped the stock market to rally here. And it certainly isn't out of the woods. This has been, we had a pullback which unwound the short-term overbought condition. And now we've had, at least in some instruments, a short-term oversold condition. So we're getting this bounce. But we can't really sound the all clear until we see the S&P 500 breaking out to new all-time highs. And then that would at least help to break out of what has so far been an 18-month consolidation. If indeed that is the reason that stocks break out, not because corporate profits have improved or because valuations have come down, but rather that it is just because stocks are an attractive place to be when monetary policy is very easy, because the only thing that quantitative easing absolutely does in a cause and effect sort of way is to inflate asset prices, and certainly equities fall into that category. So what happens with monetary policy, not just in the US but elsewhere, is likely to continue to have an effect on stock markets generally. Now, because we've had this big move today, a countermanding downward dynamic would really be required to sap some of the impetus here. And I've closed both my shorts and taken the profits there. And I don't think I'll be looking to reopen them until we get back up towards where I had opened them originally, which would be much closer to the peak. Just from a risk reward perspective. Then when we look broader, gold prices were a little bit firmer today, and palladium was up over $12, well, over $11, almost $12. So, you know, having pulled back really quite sharply yesterday, commodities were just about all in positive territory, and that was particularly the case for soybeans, which were up 57, and that is a contract that has been subject to really quite incredible volatility. And the other one that's worth mentioning is lumber. It was up the limit yesterday and is up almost another $8 here today, and you know, especially when you've got wildfires in Canada, that is going to help to put at least some impetus under that price. And also the fact that US housing prices are still pretty firm, and you know, the incentive to go out and build is probably better, you know, starter homes is probably you know, increasingly compelling. So it's certainly we're getting additional action, and today was the first day that we saw at least some, you know, bullish or upward dynamics for stocks. That, and we haven't seen that for at least the last few weeks, and it would suggest that there is cause to be a bit more bullish than perhaps we have been over the last few weeks. But as I said, we're not yet out of the woods, and really, this is still an environment where paying up for anything is not a good idea. That we have had an uptick in single stock volatility, and that would suggest that the best time to buy is when you've had a big drawdown, and there are a substantial number of shares that have had these big drawdowns, and that's probably where one should be looking for value rather than chasing outperformers. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.